Well, this week came from Tanya Kane Perry and Joe Bainline, produced by Brian DeShazer, from Outcaster Declan, produced by Mark Sopas, and with archival material from Lucia Chappelle. Joni Mitchell and Toto performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This layout acknowledges the support of the Jane and Deborah Cluey Charitable Fund and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors like them make this program possible. Thank you. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WMPG, Portland, Maine, KSKQ, Ashland, Oregon, CHMA, Sackville, New Brunswick, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.
Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Tune in Thursdays from 6 to 7 p.m. to hear Rose City Native Radio with your host, Jackie Malmstrom. Rose City Native Radio is a new public affairs program bringing you local and national Native issues and Native contemporary music. You can find more information about the show online at kboo.fm or find us on Facebook at Rose City Native Radio.
All the people don't have justice, and all the people don't have power, so that means none of us do. Take this country and change it. Turn it upside down and put the last first and the first last. Not only for black people, but for all people.
Hard Knock, Hard Knock, Hard Knock Radio.
Yeah. You gotta believe in who you wanna be. Don't wait for other validation, because it's temporary, if it ever happens. Two wrongs don't make you right. Justice, two rights don't make you wrong. Yeah. Two wrongs don't make you right. Justice, two rights don't make you wrong.
That's right.
Here to share indigenous ideas.
Okay.
To most inconceivable.
Yeah.
A metaphysical lesson able to impeach philosophies.
Do it.
Used to control the masses' assets.
Yes.
When being political ain't always practical.
Okay.
Forever embedded in a memory cell. Imagine a nation of tribes occupied using thievery, land nobody rightfully owns.
Yes,
so I have my own occupation on the mic, whose enrollment is limited to ensure tribal sovereignty's limitations. Unjust policies we're supposed to politely stand by, but political prisoners unfairly try. Deep inside we're divided by vibes,
yeah.
And most too tired to ask why.
Why?
Don't make you wrong.
Yeah.
Two wrongs don't make you right. Justice, two rights don't make you wrong.
Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. I wanted to start off the show with a song from one of our guests. It's called No Easy Answers by DJ Free Leonard. He is the nephew of political prisoner Leonard Peltier. And he is with us this afternoon as we are acknowledging Indigenous Peoples Day, looking at the plight of political prisoners and issues connected to all that. Joining us, is, and we're honored to have him, is a pioneer in hip-hop, especially when it comes to photography. Ernie Penicoli, you know, indigenous freedom fighter who's been on these, has been on this planet for many, many moons. It's good to have you both on. Let me start off with you, DJ Free Leonard. We've had you on from time to time. Your thoughts on Indigenous Peoples Day? This is something that people now seem to be firmly, or a lot of people seem to be very committed to at least recognizing that versus, you know, talking about Columbus discovered America.
Yes, well, first and foremost, I'm honored to be on the show with Ernie and Davey D this afternoon. And Columbus Day is a lot of mixed feelings as we continually have to start over every year and set the narrative straight and affirm ourselves and check ourselves with the status quo that continues to celebrate this holiday that is genocide, day of genocide for Indigenous people across the, not only across the country, but across the world. And so, you know, I'm honored to just to be able to still be relevant, to be able to be asked to do the show. And, you know, like I said, it's mixed feelings because on one hand, I am happy that it is Indigenous Peoples Day. And I'm honored that I am in touch with my heritage and my culture and my sovereignty. And I do am actively working in the hip hop community for over 12 years to raise awareness for my first cousin, Leonard Peltier, and Indigenous people in general through all the tribes that are located on Turtle Island. And, but on the other hand, it's similar to Thanksgiving. It's a day of mourning and it's a day of remembrance of all the natives, Indigenous, American Indian, Aboriginals, whatever they have classified us as on this day. It's a remembrance for everyone who's lost their lives, the MMIWs, such as my mother, Carol Ann Robidoux, who was kidnapped as a baby from the tribe and from our family, and not reunited with her family till she was an adult. And these issues are very hit home close to my heart. And I'm honored to have a platform in the hip hop community to working with relevant artists throughout the years. But it is mixed feelings. You know, I'm happy that we're celebrating our heritage and we're setting the correct narrative. But then also too, it's very sad that so many people have passed away, and there's so many political prisoners throughout history similar to Leonard that we don't even know their name of.
I appreciate that, and that's sobering words that I think put this into context. Brother Ernie, for people who don't know you, it's an honor to have you on here. You know, I just kind of gave a brief sentence, you know, hip-hop pioneer and photographer, but your position and your presence is well known. Ernie Penicoli is the author of several books. One of them is a bestseller, right? What is it, the most recent one that just came out of your photography?
Yeah. Hip-hop at the End of the World.
Right. So, you know, here's a brother that was documenting this, you know, almost from day one. You know, and you were around doing political work before there was hip hop. You're one of our elders. So your perspective I wanted to have on this show, just because of how long you've been around and somebody who at one point was in the military, and, you know, I'm sure you have mixed feelings and perspectives that could really shed some light. So just from your standpoint, as seeing how this day has evolved and, you know, and that we do have these conversations about Indigenous rights and perspectives and sovereignty, how are you seeing it? Has it been an advancement, or are we constantly reinventing the wheel from your perspective?
Wow. Have you got 4 hours?
You got 15 seconds to answer that question, my brother.
First, it's an honor to be here, and peace to the Peltier family. I can sum it up, and I guarantee that Brother DJ Peltier will agree with me. We can sum it up in two words: land back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've been blessed to have met and photographed many of the American Indian Movement leaders, break bread with them, and photograph them for history. Interesting fact about Indigenous Peoples Day is that in a land named after Columbus, Colombia has no Columbus Day. It has Indigenous Peoples Day. And I think that's very, very telling. One of the things that has held us back, ironically, is the media and entertainment, because they always show Native people 200 years ago. In case anybody doesn't know, we have moved forward along with the clock and the movement of the earth and the sun, and we are living very much in the present. But if you look, you'll see us castigated to an image of, you know, centuries back, and that interferes with us. To people, young people, I would say young Indigenous people, there's a lot of different fields you can study, but I think one of the paths to our liberation is the study of law, because we have contracts with America and they've all been broken. And if we study law and we get to a point politically through the application of law, we will get our land back.
You know, let's build up on that concept of land back. We've seen in some places that there have been battles and strategies to get the land in certain parts of this hemisphere. And when we talk about Indigenous people, we're talking about folks throughout the Americas, from Canada all the way down to, you know, Chile and, you know, and other places.
Tierra del Fuego in the southern tip.
There you go. And so there have been places where that has been a fault line. People have fought wars and continue to. This has been a place where we've seen people, I hate to use the word protest because it's so much deeper, you know, but have gone and maybe occupied places and said, this is what we're going to do, kind of similar to what we see going on today. If you're just tuning in, you know, people wake up and they go over to Alcatraz and they remember the type of takeovers that took place there. And then we have, you know, some things that seem kind of symbolic, where folks are going, hey, you know, California is going to give Indigenous people some land back. And I don't really know what that means, but I'll get your feelings on that. But really, when we talk about land back and what you were talking about, Ernie, in terms of application of law, it sounds like whatever these efforts are just crumbs and maybe just euphemisms for what you're really talking about. I mean, I think at the end of the day, we're talking about really give land back, not a piece, not a symbol, not a plaque on a wall or the naming of a street. You're like, really, like, you know, like Manhattan is our land. Let's get that back. And San Francisco and Oakland is our land, Ohlone land. Let's get that back. So I'll start off with either you, DJ Leonard, Free Leonard, or Ernie. What does that mean when we talk about land back? And is it really practical at a time when people are like, I have nothing to do with this land, I just live here, you know? How do we contextualize that? Or is it really like land back?
If you buy something in entertainment, you get what's known as a royalty. And if you do a book or a record, you get a royalty check. So land back is very simple. We could get a royalty off the land and all of our social and economic problems would be over. in 24 hours. So that would be something where they would not have to do anything, you know, title change or anything, just give us royalties for the land. Black folks also want reparations, and a simplest way to do that is rather than send the Europeans back is just to give us royalties. So if you think of it in terms of royalties, it changes the perspective and makes life very much easier. You don't have to dispossess the present occupants. You just have to give a royalty. And if you know anything about LA and San Francisco and New York and Atlanta, the property values are ridiculous. You know, they're talking about $5,000 per square foot, some crazy number I can't even repeat. But royalties, and rather than reparations, royalties. Think about that. And that's something that the leaders have not addressed, royalty money for the land.
Which is why you're saying maybe look at law. I think sometimes it's confusion because people go, well, they have casinos and they're making money. So I don't understand. What's the problem, Brother Ernie? I mean, can't they? Isn't that what we gave them? You know, they have reparation. I mean, they have reservations. What's the problem? And I don't mean to be sarcastic or no. Yeah, but you know, that is a narrative that people put forth in very high places when we have these discussions.
Brother DJ, would you like to address that? Because yeah. I think that yeah. if I address it, the three of us are going to be on a milk carton tomorrow morning.
Yeah. You know, the fight over whose land it is, you know, it's geopolitical as far as the whole world is fighting over land. And sometimes that is a very frustrating thing to figure out. And so I guess over the years that I've, you know, I'm 40 years old now, I've started to learn my own identification with the land, meaning my respect and my love for Mother Earth. And I think first and foremost that all people should unite with their love for Mother Earth and protecting the environment and protecting it for the future generations. And so these days when I think of land, I think of my relationship with the land. I think of going into nature and to indigenous people, it being one of the most divine places there is, to go into nature and to connect with the elements in nature and the animals. And I frequently like to go hiking up in the Oakland and Berkeley Hills just to be connected with nature, because it gives me such a therapeutic peace of mind to be connected with my ancestors in the forest, in nature. And so that's kind of how I've interpreted the land, the struggle for land. But definitely, you know, these days all the land issues and regulations, it's all in real estate laws, and it's so many laws on top of laws, and that's a great point to say that, you know, the residuals and the royalties that should trickle down to these tribes and our people is a very good point to make. So I definitely support that concept. And I've you know, and I struggle with understanding, like, how, you know, in the song we played, No Easy Answer, to start off, I mentioned when I wrote that song is like, and as a reoccurring theme I've heard a lot these days is how does anybody really own land, because we're all here so temporary. And and so when we, you know, and once again, I always think of the history that we're told in schools of it, cowboys versus Indians. But what about all the other nations in the world that were on Turtle Island trying to get the land as well? And you know, I just think it's a very big mess that people like ourselves are trying to clean up and bring attention to. And but for me personally, my thing is my relationship with nature and Mother Earth, and know that the pollution and the destruction that society is doing to Earth is really dampening dampening our future as people for whoever owns the land. It may not be, it may not be too sustainable for the future.
Right. You know, as you were talking, DJ Free Leonard, one of our guests, along with brother Ernie Panicoli, let's talk a little bit about this fault line that has long existed, which is, you know, both of you have talked about being one with the earth, and that smacks in direct opposition to the concept that I have dominion over the earth, right? So, you know, the European comes in and says, you know, we're in charge of the land, the waters, the whole thing, and this is for our use and and our ruling, right? And so there is no concept of being one with nature. These trees are for us to cut down. This earth is for us to mine. It's, you know, for its minerals. These animals are for us to, slaughter for food, you know, and clothing and what have you. And I think over time, many of us, you know, no matter what our backgrounds are, we adopt some of that. So we lose that connection, as you talked about, with the land, and we see it as just, you know, a constant ATM machine for our use, that we don't necessarily put any sort of deposits back. Ernie, we want to speak on that, you know, and just seeing this, because I think you're from the era when they would have, you know, I don't even know if he was Native, you know, but, you know, the guy who was crying as they were throwing litter on the freeway. We're going back into the 1970s, and that was that long held stereotypical image of indigenous folks, you know, with the feather in the hat, the long hair, and the tear shedding, and, you know, and just have a certain type of nobleness about you. But nothing's ever done in terms of taking that message to heart and trying to change it. And here we are on the precipice of planet Earth, you know, about to get rid of us because of climate change. And again, I emphasize, get rid of us. The Earth will be here. We might not. But let's speak on, you know, this walk of being one with nature versus dominion.
Yeah, I can do it very simply. Black folks have an expression that's really used all the time, and it's God don't like ugly. Well, we can put that and translate it into our current events. If you look at Florida this past 2-3 weeks with the storms, if you look at Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, and Cuba, also lands that are struggling, and the earth and people need to understand that in Brazil, under the current Trump-like right-wing government of Bolsonaro, they're cutting down the rainforest, and that's having a climatic disaster around the world. And as they cut more, Mother Earth shudders more, and those shudders are earthquakes, tsunamis, terrible, terrible hurricanes. This year, our hurricane season and storms are earlier than ever, and the temperature out where you are, Brother Davey, I think you had 120 or 122 degrees. So God don't like ugly, and Mother Earth is spanking us, and the Brazilian rainforest, as they diminish, are chances of survival on this planet are also going to diminish. As a photographer, I have always, as you were well aware, used my little bit of publicity or you know, spotlight. I did a picture of Ice Cube in New York City in broad daylight next to the police station, choking the Statue of Liberty. Okay.
Right.
Wow. Public Enemy, yeah. And that's one of my most iconic images. Public Enemy understood the power of the vocalization of hip hop, and in one of their songs, I believe it was Minister Khalid Muhammad, who said, "Have you forgotten that once we were brought here, we were robbed of our name, we lost our religion, our culture, our language, our God, and by the way we act, many of us have even lost our minds. And the reason I mention that is because we can use hip hop, whether it's to free Brittany Griner, whether it's to protest the destruction of the rainforest, or a thousand other little things, and we're not using it. KRS-One has always been on the forefront where he talked about STV, Stop the Violence, you know, human education against lies. We have those people stand at, you know, put their feet in the fire. And I think that as artists, I've always used my platform to express things. And we cannot and must not use the ecology as a way to sell cars. I'll give you an example. They're pressing these electric cars. Well, that sounds wonderful. No gas, wonderful. But guess where the power comes from that feeds those power stations? It comes from gas and oil. And the truth is, if you really do your research, we have and have had for over 70 years alternatives to electricity and gas and fuel, and the people who come up with it suddenly mysteriously die or vanish. So we have to, number one, use our platforms to disseminate information. We have to be what Gil Scott-Heron called the message to the messengers. We have to address these issues, and we have to use all our cleverness, all our art, all our spirit. We're talking about you know, children and grandchildren living in a world that'll be like some apocalyptic bad Steven Spielberg movie. We have to do it. We have to use it. I can't go up before Congress and speak, but I can put it into my art subliminally. Public Enemy, KRS-One, Yasiin Bey. Yasiin Bey had a song, I'm sure you all know about it, called H2O.
Yeah.
He said, a lot of you want big bank. Screw that. I want a 20-year water tank. And he did that, what, 12 years ago? So we have to use our platforms to get information into people's heads. Information is basically seeds that we plant. And through the planting, people become aware. And through the awareness, people find solutions and changes. But we, as entertainers, as people who have a platform, have to drop those seeds into people's ears and let them and the creator, you know, do what they will with those seeds. But we can never forget it. We have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren going to be on an earth that we don't even want to think about.
That's real talk there. Brother Ernie Pinacoli is one of our guests this afternoon, along with DJ Free Leonard. I want to take a musical break and give an example of what you were talking about, Ernie, with people stepping up and using their platforms to bring awareness. This is a favorite of mine, and it also will allow us to talk about Leonard Peltier and others, but it's a combination of DJ Free Leonard along with Raz Kaz, and the name of the song is called Freedom. We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
Freedom. summation. As I observe some ravens, it occurs to me how my mom was born on a reservation. Originally a place of incarceration, not a palace or tourist destination. At the intersection of personal memories and social history, distracted by a pop culture mentality, attractive actresses or current events, but I need rapid ways to curate rent. They said to me, your cause is outrageous. Fortunately, fighting for unjust laws contagious. Some try for extortion and freeloading, while the real want exoneration, so Leonard free. While racism still is the reason, Leonard in prison. Don't be prejudiced, be quick to test the fundamentalist. No matter how it sounds, the truth is always profound. These days it's assimilation via assimilation, sure to give you a stimulation and the elimination of your traditional metaphysical thoughts. Cause remember, Leonard came through for the poor and oppressed to address the civil unrest. Most will never guess, even the prosecutor of his trial asked for a pardon him from jail. Don't overlook the subjectiveness when the system is the real symptom. The real symptom, the system.
That is one of my favorite songs.
Right on.
It always brings goosebumps when you hear it. And I think it does exactly what Brother Ernie was talking about, which is, you know, using that platform to bring attention and awareness to what's happening, heartfelt, and a good combination. You know, Black and Indigenous with Razzcas, and I don't know who's singing. Is that whose voice is that? I can never remember.
This is producer by the name of Tone Jones.
Tone Jones, okay.
Tone Jones, yeah.
Well, may I interrupt?
Yes, go ahead.
Add something in the song that they mentioned briefly and way too fast, President Obama, and I've had dealings with two presidents. I worked with and photographed Jimmy Carter, and I worked with the beast that is the ex-president now. And I think that we all kind of have a soft spot for President Obama, his wife, you know, so on and so forth. But a little known fact, and look it up, because I don't want anyone ever to listen to something and accept it. Look it up. As a president is leaving office, he has the option of pardoning people. And they brought Brother Peltier's case before Obama. And he was going to do it. And then he said no, because he had had 8 years without any scandals. And he thought that pardoning Brother Peltier would be too controversial with the law enforcement people and with certain groups, so he decided not to do it. Look it up and see if I'm telling you the truth.
Wow.
You know, with Obama, unfortunately, that's not surprising. It's symbolism versus substance. And here's a guy that had so much in terms of symbolism, his wife, his kids. You know, he was elegant. He spoke clearly. You know, all these things that we could say were admirable, but the policies that he was willing to uphold came at the expense. So you had the expansion of AFRICOM, right? You had, you know, unfortunately, the Black Lives Movement and the fight to deal with police terror comes on his watch without any prosecution and laws to deal with, you know, wayward police and you know, and the whole fight with the pipeline, you know, in gosh, what did I want to say, Sioux Falls,
what was the name of it?
Standing Rock.
Standing Rock. Thank you. Standing Rock. These are all on his watch, you know, and in my opinion, he had ample opportunity to really sit back and embrace those struggles and take them to another level and help put major dents in them. But as you pointed out, Ernie, political expediency was his mantra. And at the end of the day, it didn't really work. You know, if he didn't free or pardon Leonard Peltier, he probably didn't do that because he thought it might hurt the campaign of Hillary Clinton, who lost anyway. And meanwhile, the fascist comes in there and he pardons everybody, you know, under the sun, who he feels like, you know, needs to get a break. And he even said if he gets back in the White House, he's going to immediately pardon all the people that stormed the White House on January 6th. No bones. No apologies, just going to use the power to its full potential. And, you know, Obama was always, you know, short-stepping.
Listen, we're living in a country, and we must never forget, as your brother Ross Koss so brilliantly said, the nature of the threat. We're living in a country, and do not forget, and never underestimate. When I was studying martial arts, they told me never underestimate anyone. When I was boxing, they told me never underestimate anyone. A person could be 5 foot tall with a bad leg and crippled arm, and he'd do you. So you must not underestimate this nation. 70 million people voted for the orange turd. 70 million. That means that there are 70 million, which is about one quarter of the people in the United States, after 4 years of this man's lunacy, 75 million people, 70 million. Do you know how huge a number 70 million is a greater number than the population of most countries on the earth? 70 million people. So when you're out there in Walmart, or, you know, at the, you know, getting a sandwich or having a meal with your family, or, you know, taking your children to school, never forget how many of those people are amongst the 70 million.
Real talk. But there's also, yeah, there's also more, you know, that in theory voted. And how do we increase the more? You know, 70 million is a lot, but there's more that we would like to think have a different perspective and see otherwise. And I think, you know, and Brother Ernie, you've been organizing and doing this work for a long time. How do you really, you know, to quote Che, or to paraphrase, you know, make this struggle more attractive, to make this revolution more attractive to the masses? How do we, you know, pique their interest and really have them dig in just as deep and just as firmly as that those who want totalitarian rule?
I would say before that you address them in their pocket and on the kitchen table and their refrigerator, and let them understand that their behavior and their actions will diminish their ability to make a living and to survive and so on. But recent events have proven me wrong. People no longer care about, you know, that. The Republican Party is on record as saying they want to do away with Social Security, and that has not diminished their popularity. Fascism, if you study history, in the Nation of Islam, they teach you, one of the first teachings is history is best qualified to teach us. If you go to Italy and look at Italy, if you go to Germany and see the rise of Hitler, if you go to Italy and see the rise of Mussolini and watch those videos, you will be shocked at the rallies that these people had, and compare them to the current orange blob and his rallies. You will be shocked. And in Italy, they wore brown shirts. Here they wear red hats. But there's a desire, an innate psychological desire, to have a strong man, have a leader, have a someone that they can worship and bow to. That's part of the nature of the people who support fascism. It's inherent in their DNA. It's some throwback from the caves. And if you remember Jimmy Castor, what's his name, where he did Troglodytes, watch that video and watch the remake of it by the X-Clan, okay? And it's innate. How do you get to these people? I do it a different way because I can't reach 70 million people. If you've ever seen me out there, I reach people individually and let them know we are human. We all have the same DNA. We all, you know, we all bleed, we all cry, we all sleep, we all reproduce, you know, and try to reach them almost on a spiritual level, on a Zen level, on a human being level. I've gone into really hostile places and walked out with friends that were strangers and, you know, not really feeling me. So we have to do it individually, and individually enough of us, it becomes collectively.
I appreciate that.
Yes, thank you for all that work you've done too. It's inspired me so much.
Let me ask, you know, since we did play the song Freedom, what is the updates on your cousin? I always call him your nephew. You're his nephew, but it's your first cousin with Leonard Peltier. Where what's happening with him and Ernie? When I come after he finishes, I want to get your perspective because, yeah, early on you were photographing and you know, and breaking bread with many of the AIM leaders back in the day. So let's get the update, Leonard.
Well, the United Nations has passed the resolution to free Leonard Peltier, and right now, you know, midterms are coming up, so there's some kind of hope with Biden pardoning or saying he's going to pardon all these people for marijuana possession or, you know, being associated with that. There's somewhat hope for Leonard, as such as there's always been, but it's just never happened. And, you know, Leonard has continued to suffer with numerous health issues. And he just celebrated his birthday on September 12th, just within the past month. His lawyer, Kevin H. Sharp, is a former federal judge that was appointed by Obama that has been making the rounds on Democracy Now! And a lot of different platforms and networks and advocating for Leonard's release. And he's doing everything he can along with the Leonard Peltier Defense Committee, several relatives, and just a worldwide effort that right now there's supporters and friends and family of Leonard over there trying to get the Pope to renew his support for Leonard. You know, a lot of humanitarian dignitaries have called for Leonard's release throughout the 46 years, and it's a constant effort to free Leonard and other political prisoners as well. We can't forget about Mumia, and we can't forget about all the political prisoners that you know, stood up and, you know, and should be considered as civil rights leaders in North America, in America, as we go down, as civil rights leaders that were targeted and framed and assassinated for their due diligence to stand up against what's wrong in the society and you know, on tribal land, other than the tribal police and social workers, there's nobody that deals with the community. So obviously it would make sense for the American Indian movement to, which started out going around trying to find and help the MMIWs, the missing and murdered indigenous women. And growing up, the American Indian movement was so prolific to me and so made me so inspired. I was like, why doesn't hip hop talk about what's going on? And that gets into kind of the politics of hip hop and stuff. So other than Mr. Ernie, I never saw anyone else really represent for AIM and for natives in the hip hop by getting in there. And something that was so, you know, powerful was a printed media like the Source Magazine and you know, that would be such a thing growing up in Oakland, is that we turn to get our information. And so just trying to use hip hop and to raise awareness about Leonard, and Leonard, his case, it gets brought up, and there's a lot of articles right now and media attention, and it's almost like Leonard, a political prisoner, needs a publicist in this day and age. So that's something I've been mentioning to Leonard for years, but just right now, a lot of other people in the campaign have been saying, wow, he needs a publicist, because how else do you get these media platforms to talk to do the kind of logistics around covering his case? And so we've had to keep up with the times. I was very early on MySpace social media, creating a free Leonard page, and gathered all the different links and pictures and articles I could to raise awareness. And I don't think it's over yet. You know, Leonard's staying strong, and he's able to email. Yeah, you know, he's doing everything he can to just stay alive and to stay strong. And it amazes me how he can continue to find some kind of peace of mind in this tragedy and this horrible nightmare that he's had to endure. Is that somehow, you know, it shows the resiliency of humanity to be like, you could, no matter what you go through, you could, there's still a way out, and there's still some kind of hope.
Real talk. Appreciate that, DJ Free Leonard. Ernie, if we're coming up to closing out, I want you to get some last words in, maybe talk about your relationship with AIM, and, you know, sure, and some things that people should should know or remember from your own experiences.
Yeah, Brother DJ spoke about the Pope and the Dalai Lama both signed, amongst 8 million people signed for the release of this man. 8 million people.
Wow.
Okay, I don't know what 1 million is. I don't know, I can't imagine the number 1 million. 8 million people, including the Pope and the Dalai Lama, signed for his release. Also, one of the things that we must not forget, and I know the Peltier Committee always does it, it says free Leonard and all political prisoners. Davey, I'm sure you are more erudite in that than I am, and I'm sure you can name off the top of your head the name of maybe 50 political prisoners, people that are in prison, not for rape, robbery, murder, arson, but for their political beliefs, and they're confronting the economic systems. Another thing is that in the song that you just played, they kept saying freedom. I was homeless with Richie Havens, who went to Woodstock and ad-libbed freedom, and, you know, which was unforgettable. And that's the word that we have to keep lodged in the forefront of our minds as human beings, as men, as conscious beings. We have to strive not for economic glory, not for political fame or economic fame, but for freedom and for liberation of our people, our women, etc. And right now we have a political thing coming up where you have a party that dedicated to MAGA, which is taking away our rights, our Social Security, healthcare for women. I mean, just, we have a very clear-cut choice, and we have to make a decision. Do we want these reprehensible, openly reprehensible people in there, or less reprehensible? I was taught in politics that elections are like, you go to a city, Davey does a lot of public speaking, he goes to Minnesota and his luggage is not there, so he has to reach in his suitcase, and in his suitcase he has to find his least dirty shirt, you know? So he reaches in the bag and he pulls out his least wrinkled, least dirty shirt and goes there. And that's how we have to vote. We have to vote for the least, and what they call the lesser of two evils, both are evil, but we have to find the least dirty shirt. Also, I would recommend everybody listen to John Trudell, T-R-U-D-E-L-L. Listen to his music, KRS-One, Chuck D, Roscos, Nature the Threat. There are so many, Yasin Bey with his H2O. There are so many brilliant artists out there that will spark and water the seeds that are in our hearts.
Yes.
Appreciate that. As we close out, Ernie, tell them about your books. How many books do you have now, photography books?
I have too many books. The two major books, one was done with HarperCollins. That's called Who Shot You, which I did with Kevin Powell, which is pretty amazing because Kevin came to me and said, okay, everybody knows you're on the underground. Nobody knows you around the world. He said, I'm going to change that, and he did. And my second book is called Hip Hop at the End of the World. And since 2018, it's been percolating. And as anybody with any real spirit does, I put a lot of information in there in between the nice pictures and so on. There's a lot of subtlety, and there's a lot of, you know, they say the best place to hide a lie is between two truths. Well, the best place to put the truth is between two nice pictures.
Yeah, and you definitely did that in both books. A lot of information, so it's not just a picture book, but stuff to soak up. And the images are iconic. So we appreciate you, Brother Ernie Penicoli. DJ Free Leonard, I didn't do you justice. You did songs with everybody from Tom Morello on down to Razzcast, to Public Enemy, and others. What's your latest project coming up?
A concept for my new album is called The Grand Entry. And that's to signify the, you know, the start of powwows, when all the tribal dancers, you know, begin the powwow at the beginning of the events. So the grand entry is coming out. I have a new song called Love Is Never Normal. I've been trying to, you know, connect more and give women in my life and in the community more of the recognition that they deserve. As we tribes, we come from matriarch societies, and and then it's very important that we practice those traditional ways, no matter what happens politically, that we instill these you know, these ways of living in our own households that give everybody in them peace and dignity, and we remove ourselves from these fundamental extreme ways that a lot of people in America immigrated from religious persecution that goes on to this day, such as what's going on in Iran. And I, you know, I just trying to figure out ways to inspire people through my music. And I'm so honored. This is like Christmas for me. Came this morning with being on this show with Brother Ernie and Davey D. I'm so honored, and I really, really appreciate the platform and the acknowledgement of the work that I've tried to do.
DJ Free Leonard.
I want to blow everybody's mind. I don't sing, I don't dance, and yet I'm getting a Grammy. I mean, that seems impossible. You got to understand where I came from. When you come from welfare and poverty and you can't sing and dance, and you know, the Grammys reach out to you. They reached out to me 5 months ago, and they said, we want you to do a show. And I denied it. I said, no, thank you, because I don't do group shows. And they said, no, it's a one-man show. I said, what is it, for a week? They said, no, it's for 5 months at the Grammy Museum in Newark, New Jersey. And it blew my mind. And I said, well, let me get some money and pay for it. We'll take care of the printing and the curating and so on. So it was unbelievable, and the graciousness that they've extended me. So I have a show through the end of October at the Grammy Museum in Newark, New Jersey, which is part of the Prudential Stadium. And it's a huge show. And the two people that had shows prior to me, you might have heard of, Whitney Houston and Bruce Springsteen.
So well, there you go.
For me to be the third, I was like, you know, I speak well, but I was kind of speechless. I was like, duh, duh, duh.
Yeah.
So
congratulations.
Grammy Museum, Newark, New Jersey, through the end of October. Please go see the show. I put my heart and soul into it. And as I always do, I put in some subtle stuff.
There you go. So, Brother Ernie Penicoli, Brother DJ Free Leonard, we're going to take a break here on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
Let me take you on a ride. Yes, indeed. Let's roll. I did come in for the The idea is for us to move past being formal. Love is never normal. For most, it's a fallacy. Intrigued when you're thoughtful of me. We quarrel past the mystique. My cheeks bleed red when you dominate me. Our affection for another is a spiritual connection. Your reflection is indistinguishable. Reminds me of my traditional ways. Or the great poet Maya Angelou. Word to Casey and JoJo. Thank God I finally found you. Lost in a sea of uncertainty. You started an insurgency. Within my heart, eternally. This is literally art of war that tore us apart from another's. Nothing better than to experience culture in tropical cities during the summer. Yeah. They say love is never normal. The idea is for us to move past being formal. Yeah. Let's get it. You're a partner so fine. It's an honor of mine. Thank God this planet yours is divine. Many temptations led me astray. Ridiculous expectations arise every day. Taking everything I know and putting it aside is how to spiritually grow and reside all alone. Until she's here, I'll say my cheers. But thanks again for getting me past my fears. In the simplicity of nature, sitting with you is more major than all the players' paper. I don't know what is more breathtaking, you or the views. The sound of a bird cues to an
Ayo, this is Clipping. You're listening to KBOO.
Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, director of the World Ocean Observatory. Some 20 years ago, as I contemplated the founding of the World Ocean Observatory, I asked a scientist I met over lunch at my first ocean conference, what is the most pressing challenge to ocean health and sustainability? His response was immediate, without hesitation. Acidification, he said, and I had no idea what he was talking about. I recently came across an article by science writer Mary Hoff, in which she surveys the conclusions of 30 conservation experts from around the world published in the July 2022 journal Nature, Ecology, and Evolution, that added 15 new ocean challenges, comparably surprising, equally disturbing. Let me paraphrase them here. Fire fallout, the increasing frequency and severity of wildfire on land through wind and rain distributes soot, chemicals, and other burn byproducts into the ocean. Dark matter. Increased sediment and nutrient imbalance resulting from climate change, coastal development, thawing permafrost, promoting algae growth and other plant productivity, and moderating sunlight and its relation to life systems and species survival. Toxic metals, industrial waste and pollutants deposited from onshore, affecting water chemistry, contaminating fish and shellfish consumed by humans and introduced into our bodies by ingestion and absorption. Pole shift, increased change to water temperature and organism migration from the warmer waters of the equator toward the cooler waters of the pole. Fatty acid famine, limited production of essential fatty acid by fish, limited by changing ocean environmental conditions and feeding patterns. Protein potential, the harvest of collagens for consumer goods such as cosmetics from livestock to ocean animals such as sponges, jellyfish, and sharks. Swim bladder demand, growth in the cultural demand for dried fish swim bladders as a food luxury, contributing to waste and the endangerment of certain species on which other species depend. Carbon removal, the decrease in fish population resulting in decreased carbon sequestration by these animals as counteraction to climate change. Lithium water, the extraction of lithium for battery demand for electric vehicles and energy storage through deep sea mining, with destruction of ocean floor and biodiversity. Volume, the increased exploitation of ocean resources as land resources are exhausted or polluted, demanding co-location, cluster enterprise, regulation technology, and other efforts to maintain sustainability. Cities at sea, the prospect of floating cities and other initiatives for citizen relocation, aquaculture, and hydroponic production, protection against invasive species, and other innovations that add further threat to ocean systems. Green pollutants, the growth in green technologies that require greater use of chemicals and rare metals, with after effects to include fertilizers, trace metals, waste treatment, leaching, and other advertent and inadvertent deposits into watersheds, coastal areas, and ocean systems with negative implication for sea life. New technological impacts, the unforeseen consequence of research, robots, radio signals, sonar, underwater radar, underwater cables, and other initiatives associated with mapping, planning, location, and other technological innovations for expanded study and exploitation of the ocean. Biodegradation, the exponential growth of the degradation of plastics and other land wastes that are already a critical condition with ever-increasing toxicity comparable to acidification and compounding that already pervasive toxic condition. For every action, there is a reaction. There is no reason that our deplorable record of behavior on land will not extend to the sea unless we understand now in advance that the old systems of values and choices will not enable a notion on which we must now depend for survival. Danger lurks in even the most progressive policy or technology unless there is a new paradigm for evaluation and application, one that this time around truly protects and sustains the potential of a nurturing ocean, of an asset that, if lost, will be a catastrophe of political and social will, an undoing for which there will be no repair. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Your investment in community radio can go on with a planned gift to KBOO. Consider adding KBOO to your will or add KBOO as a beneficiary to your insurance and bank accounts. You can change your mind anytime if your circumstances change, but recognizing KBOO